The Yeshiva Gedol of Johannesburg proudly presents the Wednesday evening shiur, covering the Parashas HaShavua, the Yomim Tovim, and other special topics as delivered by its founder and Rosh HaYeshiva, Rabbi Israel Chaim Goldfein, Zichrono Livrocha. Details regarding how to order additional shiurim follow immediately after the conclusion of the shiur.
In the last week's Parashas, Parashas Vayetze, all of the sons that will be to be born to Yaakov and his wives were born, with the exception of Binyamin. And Binyamin is born in this week's parsha. So we have in these two parshas the birth of the Yud Beis Shvotim of the 12 tribes. Last week we said a shir on Yaakov, and we mentioned that this week we would speak about the twelve sons, his sons. Just to review a few principles that we mentioned last week in regards to Yaakov. Yaakov was the perfection of the two Ovis, of Avraham and Yitzchok. And therefore he was called Yaakov Ishtam, a person who's perfect. Sholem. That's firstly. Secondly, all of the brachos which were given to Avraham, and these were given to Avraham at the time of Lech Lecha Me'altzecha, because Baruch Hu came and said, go out of your land and I will bless you, God lo shemecha, and I will make your name great, and so forth and so on. And again, they were reiterated at the Akedah, and when he sacrificed Yitzchok, all of these brachos were given subsequently to Yitzchok, and from Yitzchok, these were the brachos which he had intended to give to Esav, but Yaakov came and took the brachos, so they were ended up by Yaakov. And even with Yeses, even with greater force, we find that the brachas that Yaakov ended up with were even greater than the birchas of his predecessors. For example, it states in Parshas Vayetze, "Blimitzorim, without gvul, without any limitations," or that he said that my brachas will be greater than my father's. And therefore. And the reason for this was, is that because he took the great foundations that Avraham and Yitzchok created, and from them he put them together, and he perfected them, and from here came out Yaakov Ishtam. And therefore, the sons of Avraham, there was a good one, and there was an evil one. There was Yitzchok and Yishmael. The sons of Yitzchok, there was a good one, there was an evil one. There was Yaakov and Esav. But the sons of Yaakov, there it states, Kulam Tzadikim, they were all righteous. Kulam Giborim, they were all strong. Kulam Noim, they were all beautiful. In other words, they had his perfection. And Mitosei Shleimos, Deifiu Pseilis, the sages say. That his seed was perfect, there was no rejection. Now, they inherited these brachos. When, in Parshas, we see it in Parshas Vayechi, at the end of Sefer Shmos, Yaakov blesses all of his sons. At the end of the Sefer Torah, again, Moshe Rabbeinu blesses all of the Shvotim. They inherited all of these brachos. But they weren't like Yaakov himself. Yaakov had encompassed everything. Each one was merely a faction. Each one was merely a part of Yaakov Avinu. Yaakov himself was able to encompass all of the achievements and all of the brachos. And this is why we are known as Bnei Yisrael. Yisrael is Yaakov's name. Shvotim, each one inherited a specific part of Yaakov Avinu, but none of them were great enough to inherit everything. That's why when he blessed them in Parshas Vayechi, it states Ish ki birchosei beirach ishom, that each one he blessed in accordance to his own, to that person's particular greatness. It's true, later on he gave everyone a share in all of the brachos, but each one basically was blessed in accordance to his own particular perfection. So therefore, there might be one exception to this, and that could be Yosef, and that we'll have to speak about at another time. Therefore, all of them together, see, are Kulam Bnei Yaakov. They were all Bnei Yaakov, which means all together they made up Yaakov. But with Yaakov himself was completed the Binyan Habayis, the building of the house of Israel, and these are his sons. And Yaakov, if you recall last week, we also spoke that Yaakov was the master of a oneness, of Achdus. He took all of the achievements of Avraham and Yitzchok and he made one out of it. This the Medrash says by the stones when he went to sleep, and there were many stones, and when he woke up there was one. And this the sons told Yaakov, state Shema Yisrael, they told Yisrael, their father, Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, that just like by you Hashem is one, by us also Hashem is one. We're only one. So together they represented one. And this is why Ral brings that the Echad is the numerical value of 13. And this is parallel, correlates to the 13 sons of Yaakov Avinu. Why do we say 13? There were only 12. Because Yosef was split into two, Ephraim and Manasseh. So therefore there were 13. And the Aleph stands for one that was separated, one was Nivdal alone, an individual, that was Levi. And the Ches, the 8, that stands for the 8 sons that came from Rachel and Leah. And the Dalet stands for the 4 sons which came from the Shvoches, the maidservants. Now, this evening, I'd like to go into a little more detail about the sons and how each one had his particular perfection from Yaakov Avinu. We won't have time to go through all of the 12 sons this evening, but hopefully we will speak about the 6 sons of Leah. Leah had 6 sons. The first one is Reuben. So in Parshas Vayetze, this goes back to last week's Parsha. Parshas Vayetze, Chof Tes Lamed Beis, Vatar Leah, excuse me. We'll start at Lamed Aleph. Vayar Hashem Kishnua Leah. And Hashem saw that Leah was hated. She was not loved by Yaakov, because Yaakov came to marry Rachel, and he worked 7 years to marry Rachel. And Lavan, Lavan deceived him. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu opened the womb of Leah, and Rachel was barren. Vatar Leah vatelet bein, and Leah conceived, and she gave birth to a son. Vatikra Shmai Reuven, and she called him Reuven. Why did she call him Reuven? Ki omro ki ro Hashem be'onyi, ki ato yehavani ishi. Reuven comes from the word Reu, Reu bein. See my son. She said, Hashem has seen my suffering, and now my husband will love me. So therefore, she called him Reuven. Now the simple meaning is that through Reuven, Leah began to remove some of the hard feelings that existed between Yaakov and her. Because until then, Yaakov was not very happy, because he was deceived, and he had no intention to marry Leah. So the birth of Reuven started to remove some of these sufferings and some of these hard feelings, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu saw the suffering, and this Reuven was the firstborn. He was actually the firstborn of Yaakov and the firstborn of Leah. And it's the task, it's the duty of the firstborn to be the Godel Habayis. He is the leader of the household, He's the protector of the household. So here, he was doing that. His birth protected Leah from these hard feelings. And it started. It's also the task of the firstborn to be the starter, the beginner. Firstborn is called Reishis. Reishis means to begin. And he was the one who began to remove the barriers between Yaakov and Leah. And later on we find that in Parshas Vayechi, where Yaakov blessed him, he called Reuven, Reuven Becheri, Reuven, you're my firstborn, Reishis Kechi, Ato Kechi V'Reishis Eini. You are my firstborn, you are my strength, and the first of my seed. So therefore, she said, Ru'u, see my son. And he started to protect his mother. Accordingly, then, it is understandable why Reuven got involved in what's brought later on in our Parsha. Our Parsha in Vayishlach, in Parshas Lamed Vov, Perek Lamed Vov, Posechov Beis, it states, Vayibish Koin Yisrael Beretzahi, Vayelech Reuven, Vayishkaves Bilo, Pilegesh Oviv, Vayishma Yisrael. That at this time, when Yaakov was in that place, Reuven went and he took Bilo. Bilo was the maidservant of Rochel, and Rochel had died. This is referring to after Rochel died. And he took Bilo, the concubine of his father, Vayishkav, and he laid with her. Vayishma Yisrael, and Yisrael heard of this. Now, what does this mean? If they're kulam tzaddikim, if they're all righteous, how did he do such a thing? It was the father, it was the wife of his father. So the Chazal tell us it wasn't this at all. Rashi brings, Miteich shebilbul mishkova im malalova kosev kilu shochva v'loma bilbul. What Reuven did was, he didn't take the Bilo, his father's wife, at all. What he did was he removed Yaakov's bed from the tent of Bilo, because Yaakov's bed was on a permanent basis in the tent of Rochel, because Rochel, as we mentioned, is referred to as Eshes Yaakov. That was the wife of Yaakov, because this is the reason why he came to Laban's house. When Rochel died, then Yaakov took his bed and he moved it into the tent of Bilo. She was the maidservant of Rochel. That was his other wife. This angered Reuven very much. Bar Reuven v'tova elbein imoy, and he came and he stood up for the honor of his mother. Omar imachis imi ha'isatzorali imi shivchas achis imi teitzorali imi. Is it not enough that the sister of my mother was a constant thorn to her, and now that she's not here, will her maidservant also be a thorn to my mother? So therefore he went and he removed Yaakov's bed from that tent and he moved it into the tent of his mother. To us this would not seem a very serious offense. Well, he took the bed from one tent and put it to another tent. But the Torah, for various reasons, considers this a very, very severe offense, and so did Yaakov, that he was interfering in matters that was not his concern, and he was interfering in matters that had to do between a man and his wife. And therefore the Torah uses this harsh loshon, this harsh language, as to what Reuven did. And it states, it's called that Miteich shebilbo yitzui oviv. He went and he confused and changed the bed of his father. Now, we'll see later on that what the consequences were. But at any rate, why was it Reuven? There were other sons also. Fact is, at this time, all of them were born except Binyamin. Even Binyamin was born. So everyone was born. Because Reuben was the Bechor. And as the Bechor, he was standing up to protect his mother. Tova Elbaim Shel Imai. To go into a little deeper, Rashi brings a drosho from the Gemara in Brochis. What does it mean, the Reuven? It means Omru Reu Ma Bein Bini Leben Chomi. She told everybody, look and see the difference between my firstborn, my son, and my father-in-law's firstborn. Her father-in-law was Yaakov, so she's referring to Esav. Look at the difference between my son and Esav. What is the equation between Reuben and Esav? Because Reuben was her firstborn, and Esav was Yaakov's firstborn. Excuse me. Esav was Yitzchok's firstborn. So she's referring to her father-in-law, Yitzchok. Shemochar habechera leYaakov v'zeh leimoch leYosef v'leYirolov v'leAid shleYirolov v'leShibikesh leYitzia min Avor. Esav, by birth, was the firstborn. What did he do? He took that first birthright and he sold it. He sold it, gave it away. See, the claim and the right of a Bechor is a very, very great claim, and especially at this time, as we'll see later on, especially before the Torah was given. Esav had this right, and he gave it away. He gave it away for the Nezid Adoshim. He gave it away for food. So he was Mevazet. He shamed it. Then, not only that, but after he sold it and he shamed it, he never forgave Yaakov for taking it. Yaakov didn't take it. It was legally sold to him. He didn't force Esav to sell it. He said, he took my Bechera, I see, and now he's taking Birchosi, now my Brochus. And neither claim was justified, because the blessings, the brochas, by right go to the firstborn. That's why Yitzchok answered, what do you mean that he took your Becherosi, your firstborn birthright? So Esav told him the story. When Yitzchok heard that, he says, Gam Boruch Yiyah, then let him be blessed, the brochas belong to him. So Esav went and he shamed his firstborn birthright and he sold it. And after he sold it, he always wanted to take revenge from Yaakov for taking it. He said, my firstborn, Reuven, he didn't give it away. And not only that, but he was the one who stood up for Yosef. When they said that here comes Yosef, the Malach HaLemes, the dreamer, Lechu v'nargehu, let us go and kill him. It was Reuven who said, don't kill him. Put him in the bor, put him in the pit. And why did he say that? Because his plan was to come back later and to save him. So Reuven stood up for Yosef. Now what does Yosef have to do with this? Because Yosef also was a firstborn. Reuven was the firstborn to Yaakov from Leah. But Yosef was the firstborn to Yaakov from Rachel. And in Yaakov's mind, even though according to the exactness of the law, that when we speak of a firstborn in regards to rights, it's the firstborn of the father, not of the mother. But still, Yaakov, as we'll see later, always had his eye on Yosef and considered him his firstborn. Why? As we mentioned, because he considered Rachel to be Ashes. This was his main wife, and this was her firstborn. So he had two firstborns. So she said, Reuven, look at the difference between my son and between my father-in-law's sons, Esav. Esav went and gave away the first birthright. And after that, he always tried to revenge against Yaakov for taking it. And my firstborn, he never gave it away. And when Yosef, it looked like Yosef was taking it, not only he did not take action against him, but he even tried to save him. So that's a little deeper meaning in the name Reuven, and it's of the same insights. This is Reuven. Now it states further Vatar od. She conceived again. Vatelet bein. And she gave birth to a son. Vatayme ki shama Hashem ki snu anechi. And she said that Hashem has heard that I am hated. Vayiten li gam ezer. And she's given to me also this one. He's given to me also this one. Vatikrosh mai Shimain. And she called him Shimon. Now Shimon is a Tesis Madrega, is a continuity of what Reuben started. Reuben started to break down the barrier between Yaakov and Leah and bring them closer together. Because through Reuben, HaKadosh Baruch Hu saw her suffering. Be'ato Yevani. Now Shimon went further. Shimon's birth was evidence ki shoma, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has heard ki snu anechi, that I'm hated. And now that I have a second son, I'll even be closer. So Shimon is continuing what Reuben started, and Reuben is the Bechor, is the one who started. Now, to speak a little more about Shimon, we have to go into the third son, Levi, because Shimon and Levi are considered a pair. So we'll go now to the third son. Vatar od vatelet bein. And she conceived again, and she gave birth to a son, Vatomar, and she said, Ato hapam yilove ishi elai. This time, yilove ishi elai, my husband will dwell with me. The first time, they'll start being some closeness. The second time, more. But this time, yilove ishi elai. This time, he will dwell with me. Kiyaladati leishleish avonim. Because I have given birth now to three sons. Alkein koroshmai Levi. Therefore, she called him Levi. Why this time? Why this time? And what in particular? So Rashi brings, because the Imaos were Nevi'os. They were prophetesses. And they knew that Yaakov was going to give birth to 12 sons. And they knew he was going to have four wives. So then the rightful portion of each one would be three sons. So this is why Ato Hapam. See, now that I have Ben Shlishi, a third son, now I have my rightful portion, so Yaakov cannot have any complaints on me. So therefore, Yilove Ishi, he will come and dwell with me. Now Levi and Shimon and Levi are considered a pair. Where do we see that they're considered a pair? In Parshas Vayechi, when Yaakov blesses them, he calls them Shimon veLevi Achim. Shimon and Levi, you are brothers. They were called Achim Be'etzo. They worked together, and they used to plot together, or they would conspire together, both for good things and sometimes not so good things. But they were together. And there's a logical reason why. Because they were born right next to each other. So there's a logical reason why they should be considered like Achim. And not so much with Reuben. Because Reuben, the Bechor, always stands alone. See, the Bechor has his own position in the family. So therefore the next two, Shimon and Levi, were Achim. They were brothers. They always worked together. Both of them also were the next two sons of Leah. Now, we find that these two sons in particular worked together to stand up again for Leah and her children. Where do we find this? It was Shimon and Levi who went and destroyed the whole city of Shechem when they abducted Dinah. Dinah was their sister, the daughter of Leah. It was Shimon and Levi who are the ones who said, let us go v'nahargehu. Let us go and kill Yosef. Here comes Yosef balach alaymas. It says, v'yemer ish alochiv. One said to his brother, Lechu v'nahargehu, let us go and kill him. So the Chazal say, who were they? Who was the one that said to his brother? It couldn't have been Reuben, because Reuben tried to save him. It goes through a whole process of elimination, and it comes out it was the two Achim. It was Shimon and Levi. They were the ones who said, let us go kill Yosef. Now why? Why did they want to kill Yosef? As we mentioned, that there were two firstborns. There was the firstborn from Leah and the firstborn from Rachel. And the kingdom, the rights of kingship, the rights of kahuna, at that time the rights of service in the Beis Hamikdash, kahuna, always went to the firstborn. But they saw that Yaakov was priming Yosef for this. The one that used to learn all the time by Yaakov was Yosef. Kol chokhma shalomar etzel shem ve'ever mosha le'yosef. He gave to Yosef all of his wisdom. He gave him a coat of many colors which represented that he was different. And he was a melech, he was a king, he was priming him for kingship. This was the core of the dispute between them. So the dispute basically were not the brothers, not just brothers, but it was the B'nai Leah against the B'nai Rachel, the sons of Leah and the sons of Rachel. And who were the in the forefront to be Mekane, to stand up and to take revenge and to protect? It was Vayemi Ishal Ochiv, the one who said to his brother. It was Shimon and Levi. These were the Achim, and these, from their very birth, they brought Leah close to Yaakov, so therefore they were ready to stand up and fight that this should not be lost to Leah or her children. This is what Yaakov said in Parshas Vayechi when he blessed them. So to Shimon and Levi, he was not too complimentary, because he didn't like their anger. See? They were hot-headed, and he told them, he said, Shimon and Levi, Achim klei chomos mecheriseha. You are a person, you are people who are too militant. You take military weapons which belong to Esau. Order apom, cursed is your wrath, so forth. So he said, "Ki ba'apom horgu ish uvetzeinim ikru shor." In your anger, you killed a man. Because I'll say this refers to Shechem and Hamor, the city of Shechem when they abducted Dinah. Uvetzeinim ikru shor, and you wanted to tear out the shor. Who is the shor? Say Yosef. So Yosef was called Bechor Shor Hodolei. Incidentally, the brocha that Meshe gave to Yosef was Bechor Shor Hodolei. He used the word Bechor, the firstborn. Now, Levi, though, was very special. Even though they got involved in some of the things they shouldn't have, Levi was very special. As you recall, we said that the Echod, the Aleph of the Echod, refers to Levi. Aleph always means one, an individual. Levi was an individual, and he was set aside. How was he set aside? We all know that eventually from Levi came the Kahanim. From Shevet Levi comes the Kahanim, and from Shevet Levi comes the Levim. And they were Meshores, they served Hashem in the Beis Hamikdash. But this was later, this was after the Torah was given. Before the Torah was given, the Kahuna, the service in the Beis Hamikdash, belonged to the firstborn. So what was so special about Levi? The Rambam brings in the beginning of Hilchos Aveid Zorah, the Rambam says that Abraham, he sat and taught Torah. He made a yeshiva, and he used to teach Torah, and he taught it to his sons. Then Yitzchok, by Yeshiv Yitzchok Malam Rumazir. Then Yitzchok went and he taught Torah. The Yitzchok Edir Le Yaakov, and then Yitzchok taught to Yaakov. Umina lamed v'yeshiv malamed umaksi kol anil v'imelot. And he commanded Yaakov that he should always have a yeshiva and teach Torah. V'yaakov avinu lomad bon av kulam v'hibdo levi. And Yaakov, this was in the time of Yaakov yet, he taught all of his sons and he separated Levi. Uminu rosh, and he made him as the leader. V'yeshiva v'yeshiva. And he put him in a yeshiva. L'lamei derech Hashem, in order that he should teach the derech Hashem, lishma mitzvahs Avraham, and to guard the mitzvahs of Avraham. So right from the beginning, Yaakov saw the particular powers and the particular abilities of Levi, and he separated them. And he said, your job is to stay in the yeshiva and to teach Torah, in order that it should not be forgotten, the mitzvahs that we have received from Avraham and Yitzchok. And he commanded the rest of the sons that they should make sure that from Levi will always be those who will be teaching Torah, in order that it should not be forgotten. And this is how it went on. And then he speaks about eventually they went down to Egypt. And they forgot many of the mitzvahs, and they even committed idolatry. But chutz mi shevet Levi, with the exception of shevet Levi, sho amad be mitzvahs oves, uma elam le oved shevet Levi avedis kechovim. Levi never left the mitzvahs of Hashem, and Levi never, the tribe of Levi never served avedis idolatry. So Levi was nivdul, was separated even before they had the kohuna. And this Yaakov saw in him. He was perhaps one of the reasons that he had this, perhaps a sign of this, that he had such greatness. He was Shlishi Labetin. He was the third born child. And a third born, the rabbis teach us, three is a sign of Mamutza. Three is a sign of someone in the middle. And when it comes to perfection, three is a sign of perfection. Because one is to the right and two is to the left, and three combines the two. Like it states, Achuta Mishulash Lebim Hero Yinotek. That if you bind something, twine something three times, then it will not break. And Levi was the third born, just like Yaakov was the third generation from Avram, Yitzchok, and Yaakov. Levi was the third son. And that might have had a lot to do with his Kedusha. We see what kind of family came from him. From him came Amram, who was considered the Godel Hador. He was the leader of the generation in the time of Egypt. And from Amram came Miriam, Aaron, and Moshe. So Moshe also was the third born. So we see what kind of family came from them. Now Levi never served Avodah Zarah, idolatry. And never were involved in the Chet HaBaraglim or the Egel Azov. When it came to the golden calf, Moshe said, Mi Lashem Elai, whoever is on my side, let him come. And it says, V'nasfu le kol b'nei Levi. And all of the tribe of Levi came to him. All of them, Levi. They didn't serve by the golden calf. When it came to the Chet HaMaraglim, those that were b'meitzi dibas orets, they didn't want to go into Eretz Yisrael. So later on it states that there was no man that came into Eretz Yisrael that was over 20 years old at that time, because they all died in the desert. It says, except to Shevet Levi. Shevet Levi, they weren't involved, and therefore they went into Eretz Yisrael. So we see that Levi was very special, and eventually to Levi was given the kohuna, was given the priesthood, and that was only after the golden calf. There, since the firstborns all served the golden calf, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu took the priesthood away from them and he gave it to Levi. An insight, perhaps, as to Why was Levi so special? When he was born, Leah said, "Ato yiloli, now my husband will come and dwell by me." Levi represented Shekhinah. See, the Shekhinah is Hashem, the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The main presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the sages say, is Ish v'Ishto Yachtav, is a man and his wife together. This is the main presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because it states that he put half his name in Ish and half his name in Isha. The Yud is in Ish and the He is in Isha, and only together do you have his total name. So do you have his presence? So it states Ish v'Ishtoi Shalom bein Ish v'Ishtoi Shekhinah Shrui b'neihem. See, when there is a unity between a man and his wife, then there's Shekhinah, then the presence is there. Levi is the one who brought that unity. So he brought Shekhinah. Aside from the fact that Yaakov was considered the main carrier of the Shekhinah. So therefore, this is another reason, a deeper reason, as to why Levi came to these heights. And so this tells us something now about Shimon and Levi, the second and third son. Now we have Yehuda. The Torah goes further, and it says, oh, incidentally, in regards to Levi, by the others it says Vatikor Shmoi, that she called the name. By Levi it says Alkein Korosh Shmoi Levi, therefore he was called Levi. Doesn't say that Leah gave him his name. So Rashi brings the Chazal that a Malach came and brought Levi up to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the one who gave him the name Levi, and he gave him all the matonis, the gifts that we are required to give to the Kahanim. This was a sign of a Chibur Yisera, of a special love. Now we go further to Yehuda. The Torah tells us Vatara od vatelet bein Vatemar hapam edes Hashem Alkein korosh me Yehuda. And she conceived again, and she gave birth to a son, and she said, "This time I shall praise Hashem." Therefore she called his name Yehuda, and then she stopped giving birth at this point for a while. The word Yehuda, which she named her fourth son, is made up of two words. It's made up of the word Hodu. Hodu means to give praise and thanks. And it's made up of the word Hashem. The fact is, many times HaKadosh Baruch Hu will put one letter of his name in a word. Like we said, Ish has the Yud. Isha has the He. Sometimes he'll put two letters. Yehuda has the Shein Mole. Yehuda has the whole name. The Yud, the He, and the Vav, and the He. So the word Yehuda means Hodu, to give praise Hashem, to Hashem. And what kind of praise? Not a quiet praise and not a small praise, but a total praise. A praise to HaKadosh Baruch Hu totally. Bekolorom, loudly. This is what the word Yehuda means. Why was Yehuda named this? So Leah said. She said, because Hapam Eides Hashem, this time I must praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Alkein Kodesh Ma Yehuda, since Yehuda's birth gave to Leah the level of praising Hashem totally, so therefore his name was Yehuda, to praise Hashem completely. Now the question is, why should she praise Hashem this time? She could have praised Hashem after the birth of Reuven, or after Shimon, or after Levi. Why this time? So Rashi brings the Chazal, because Ato notalti yesha mechelki, because now I have more than my share. Since they knew there were going to be 12 sons and 4 wives, so therefore their share would be 3 sons. Now I have Yoser, I have more than my share now. If I have Yeseh, if I have Notalti, Yeseh Michelki, Me'ato Yeshli Lahaydais, then I should praise. I have to praise. Well, what does this mean? The Maral explains. When you give something to someone which is coming to him, for example, a man works for you, and you give him his pay. All right. Derech Eretz demands that he says thank you, and he's appreciative. But at the same time, what you're giving him, you owe him. So he is getting what he deserves. If you give him no more than he deserves, more than's coming to him, oh, then Derech Eretz demands that he praises you. The hodu comes in the same Hebrew word as hodu, is also the word todah, to give thanks. When a person gets something which he's paying for example, I give money to a seller and he sells me something in exchange. Right, I thank him because of Derech Eretz, but I really don't have to thank him for the article because I'm paying him for the article. A worker, he thanks the employer for the salary, but really he's selling his work in return for the salary. But when you receive something, someone gives you something which you are not deserving of, it's not kefi hadin, it's yoser michelki, then you are required to thank him from the bottom of your heart and to praise him. The same Hebrew word which is todah is hodu. That's incidentally why we bench Gomel. When we bench Gomel, the source of that is the Korban Todah. There was a sacrifice in the time of the Beis Hamikdash that was called the Korban Todah. It was a sacrifice to give thanks to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When was this brought? When a great miracle happened to a person. Say. When he was saved in such a way that it was more than could be expected. It says, Arba Srichin Lahaydis, four have to give thanks. And they're speaking like someone who was very sick, and all of a sudden he became well. He was dangerously sick. Or someone was in prison. Those days you got thrown in the dungeon, probably more remained than ever came out. And he was let out. So there, a person gets something like that, he's Chayv Lahodesh. And how must he be? Meida, Berabim, the Gemara says. Befarheshia, publicly. Today we do it. We go to the Sefer Torah and we make a Birchas HaGomel. But it's brought that you cannot do it without a minyan. There has to be a minyan. Why? Because it has to be done Befarheshia. A full praise is a public praise, a public exclamation, a public declaration. So therefore, now that she was getting more than her chelik, she said, Apamaid, this time I must praise. It's interesting to note also that the same Hebrew word of hodu and toda is also to be moder. Hodor, that means to admit. For example, we have in the Gemara, hodor's baldin. That means to amaid bifne edim, to admit or to submit. Now, it's basically the same word. Because when you thank someone, you're praising. When you praise someone, if it's this type of praise, so then you're totally admitting and submitting yourself to him. You're indebted to him. If someone gives me something that I have coming, I'm not indebted to him. I pay you a good price for your article, and you give me the article, I'm not indebted. I paid off my debt, I gave you the price. But if someone gives me something that I'm not, do not have coming, he gives it to me for nothing, see, free, oh, I'm indebted to him. Indebted means I'm indebted, I submit to him. Okay. That's why the same word also is submission. So this is what Leah said. And therefore, she called him Yehuda. Al-Kain Korosh Ma Yehuda. Because of this, it was Yehuda's nature. Yehuda is the one that brought the level, the madrega of Heidu, Hodu, to his mother. It was Yehuda's nature always to publicly praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Where do we find this? It's Gemara Masechta Seita. Gemara Masechta Seita, I believe it's Lamed Vov or Lamed Zayin, says Yehuda Kiddush Shem Shemayim Befar Hesha. Yehuda was the one who would sanctify HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name publicly. Where? So two instances are brought. Brings Yosef was Mekadosh Shem Shemayim Betzino. He sanctified Hashem's name Betzino privately. Alright, that's a different shmuz. But Yehuda, it says, sanctifies HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name publicly. Where? Two places. One is with the case of he and Tomar. When he took Tomar, he thought she was a harlot. Later on it came out that she was his daughter-in-law. And when she became pregnant and they wanted to kill her, and she said, the one who gave me these, he's the father of these children. And Yehuda at that time was the prince. He was the shefet. He was the leader. And had he kept quiet, then nobody would have known about it, and he would have saved himself a great scandal. Instead, it states, Yehuda was maida. He submitted. And in public, he said, Sotka mimeni, she is righteous. The children are for me. So even in the under the risk of destroying his own name and his own career, he admitted and publicly declared the truth. This is the greatest praise to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because you place HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Torah and his name before your name. He said it's better that HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name should be sanctified than my name. Now this was his name. He gave praise and he submitted to Hashem. That's one place. Then the Gemara brings another place. It was the Bnei Yehuda, his children, when they came to the Yamsuf, to the Red Sea, and nobody wanted to go into the raging waters, and the Egyptians were coming down on their backs, and at both sides was the wilderness, and they didn't know what to do. So it states that the Bnei Yehuda, they went into the waters up to their necks, and they called out. You know, you walk into a sea up to your neck, it can be very dangerous. And they called out, Hashem Yimloch Le'alom Voed. Kodesh Baruch Hu is the king forever. And then the water split. So it was Yehuda that declared the praise for HaKadosh Baruch Hu B'far Hesher. And not only that, it was through them that the great miracle, the Kriyas Yamsuf, which split for Klal Yisrael and destroyed the Egyptians, which was the greatest public praise of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This came through Yehuda. Because of this, Yehuda was the one who was fit to be a king. Because the king is not a person that can go in the background. A king has to be in the forefront. A king cannot be low profile. A king has to be high profile. And the king is Bereish. He's in front. So as Yehuda had the ability to become a king, and especially Melech Yisrael, because it is the objective of the kingdom Yisrael to praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu publicly. Because what is the objective of the king of Yisrael? It states that he's supposed to lead the nation in the ways of Torah, the ways of Hashem. So he lifts up the nation and leads them in the way of Hashem. Everyone had to have one Sefer Torah. The king had to have two Sifrei Torahs. And one was he would have attached to his arm, and wherever he would go, it was always be with him, you know, to remind him all of the time that this is what his job of leadership is, right? To lead people to Hashem. And it was therefore, eventually, he was Zeche to Malchus. Yaakov blessed him and said, "Lo Yosu Shevet Miyuda," that the staff of Malchus will never be removed from Yehuda. This was after Shaul. After King Saul, the kingship went to Yehuda. Eventually, it went to David. David and Shlomo, these were from the seed of Yehuda. And David was the one who always praised HaKadosh Baruch Hu with his Mizmori Tehillim. The greatest praises that we have are the Tehillim of David HaMelech. There's where he's Hodu Lashem. And also Im Yetz Hashem, the Melech HaMashiach, will come from Yehuda. And this is why also that there was such conflict between Yehuda and Yosef, because Yehuda was grooming to become a king, and Yosef was grooming to become a king. And you can't have two kings in one family. And Yehuda, we find also that when they marched in the desert, where did Yehuda camp? Yehuda camped in the east. And they were Rishenel Yisau. They were the first ones to march, because he was the Melech. He was the king. And why in the Mizrach? Because the Chazal tell us the Mizrach, the east, is the front of the world. That's why it's called Kedem. Kedem, Kodem means front. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, so the front door is the east, and the innermost part of the world is the west. So therefore Yehuda camped in the east, and he was Rishena Yisau, the first ones to march. Now, we might ask though, why was the kingship good? He had the ability. He was groomed, he had the ability, he had all the milas. But why was the kingship given to Yehuda? Really, the halacha is that the kingship goes to the Bechor. It goes to the oldest son, if he's Roy, if he's fit for it. So it should have gone to Reuben. If not to Reuben, then the next son, Shimon HaLevi. The truth of the matter is yes, when Yaakov in Parshas Vayechi, when Yaakov said, he said to Reuben, Reuben b'chedi atokechi v'reishis eini, Reuben, my firstborn, you are my strength and the first of my seed, yeser seis v'yeser oz, you deserve Se'es and Oz. So the Chazal say, you deserve kingship because you're the firstborn, and you deserve the kohuna, the priesthood, because you're the firstborn. But you lost it. Pachas kamay maltosa ki oliso mishkevei avicho, os chilalti yitzui olo. You lost it because of your anger. What was his anger when he went and he changed the beds of his father? We said we would see later what the consequence was. Even to us it might look like something very light, but the Torah of Yaakov didn't take it very light. Because of that act, Reuben lost the kingship, and he lost the Bechera. See, he lost being the right of the firstborn, and the right which gave him a claim on royalty, the kingship, and on the avoda, on the priesthood. Because of his anger, when he stood up to protect his mother and he went to interfere in his father's private affairs, therefore he lost it. Now it should go then to Shimon or to Levi. So again he told Yaakov, I cannot give it to Shimon or Levi either, because Shimon or Levi also lost it because of their anger. Be'apom horgu ish. Because of their anger, they went and they killed off a whole city, Shechem v'Hamor, u'betzeinim ikru shor, and they wanted to kill. These are the two ones by Yemi Yishalochiv. They wanted to kill Yosef. So therefore, I cannot give it to you either. But to Yehuda now, and Yehuda, he came along. That's the fourth son. Atoy yeducha achecho, yishtachav luchu b'nei avicho. You shall be the king. To you shall bow the sons of your father. Now notice he says the sons of your father. He didn't say the sons of your mother. Because had he said the sons of your mother will bow to you, so then we would say the sons of Leah will bow to you, but not the sons of Rochel. No, Yehuda was to end up to be the main king of Klal Yisrael. Where not only will the sons of Leah bow to you, but even the sons of Rochel. See? Yishtachav luchu b'nei avicho. And then he says like this, he says, "Gur ayi Yehuda miter b'ni oliso. You are like a young lion, and you lifted yourself away. You took yourself away from tearing my son." What does this mean? Later on, when Yosef was reported that he was missing, and they brought him the coat in blood, So Yaakov looked at it and he said, Yosef is killed. So he said, Torov Tarah, he says, a wild animal went and tore him. What did he mean by that? It states that he had suspected Yehuda. He was referring to Yehuda, who was like a wild animal, an Aryeh, a lion. He suspected he had killed Yosef. Why? Because he knew of this controversy. He knew of this friction. Yehuda was destined for kingship, and Yosef was to become a king. Like we see, Yosef became the king of Egypt. And Yaakov was grooming him for kingship. So he expected, he was cheshed, chesharati, that he suspected Yehuda. See, Rashi brings, Mimashi chesharticho b'torov toraf Yosef chayaroach losu. That when he said that Yosef was torn, a wild beast ate him, I suspected you. B'zehu Yehuda shinim shel aryeh. But silaktas atzmecho v'yomartem abetza. But you didn't harm him. You said later on, Yehuda was the one who said, what will we gain if we spill his blood? Let's better sell him. So you removed yourself from him. That was the saving factor. And also Rashi brings the way you removed yourself from Tomer. You could have saved yourself by killing Tomer. But you praised HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You rather scandalized and assassinated yourself and saved Tomer. So this was a saving factor. So therefore, Yaakov said, Le'yosu shevet miyudim echekik v'imein raglov, that the staff of kingship will never be removed from you. So the Malchus, the kingship was supposed to go to Reuven. Reuven lost it, then to Shimon, then to Levi, they lost it. So it ended up by Yehuda. The Kohuna was with the firstborn. Eventually, Levi got the Kohuna because, see, after the chait of the egg, of the golden calf, and Reuven was not roy for it, he didn't get it, so eventually that ended up by Levi. Alright, so that tells us about Yehuda. Now we go to the fifth son. The fifth son, this is brought a little further. This is in Bereishis Lamed, Pasuk Yud Aled. Vayelach Reuven b'mei Ktzir Chitim. Reuven went, and was during the time of the harvest of the wheat, vayimtzo dudoim basoder. And he found dudoim in the field. Dudoim is a certain plant. And this plant is supposed to have an ability to help a woman conceive. Vayove yisom el leah ima. So he brought it to his mother. Vatomer Rochel el leah tinino li midudoei benech. And Rochel, who was still barren at this time, so she told Leah, please give me the plant, maybe it will help me. Vatema lo hamat kach teches ishi velakaches gamis dudoei bni. You have just about taken my husband, Leah said. I should also give you dudoei bni. So she said, all right, I'll make an exchange with you. That night, Yaakov was supposed to come to her. She says, so let him go to you tonight. And in exchange for the plant. So Yaakov came from the field that evening. And Leah went out to meet him because he was going towards the tent of Rochel. She said, you should come to me tonight, because I have hired you with the, I have paid for you with the dudoei bni, with this plant. So he came to Leah that night. And Hashem heard again, Leah, that she was suffering, because still the love that Yaakov had for her was not like for Rochel. Batar, so he made her conceive. Batayda Yaakov ben Chamishi, and she gave birth to Yaakov, a fifth son. Batayma Leah, and Leah said, Nosan elakim schori, asher nosati shivchosi liishi. HaKadosh Baruch Hu now has given me my reward. See, because in between this, in between her fourth son and the fifth son, she had given her Shivko, a maid servant, to Yaakov for additional sons. So now Kodesh Baruch Hu has paid me. And Vatikra Shma Yisochar, and she called him Yisochar. This is Yisochar. What was Yisochar? The Gemara says, we see later on, Yisochar was a very, very wise son. When Yaakov blessed Yisochar, this is in Parshas Vayechi, so he said, Yisochar chamar gorm, reivetz beinam ispasayim. Yisochar is like a strong, strong framed donkey that sleeps, beinam ispasayim, that sleeps on the road, sleeps between the cities. Because from Yisochar came the greatest Talmidei Chachomim that were in Klal Yisrael. It states on Yisochar that they were Yodei Binur. They had an intelligence and an understanding that far surpassed the rest of Israel. And because of this, when it came to the most difficult halachos and the most difficult gemaras and the most difficult problems, all of Israel that were stumped would come to Israel, to Yisochar. It says, for example, when it came to the Ibar HaShono, the Ibar HaChodesh, all of the astronomical problems of how to set the calendar and the leap years and the months, most difficult areas, nobody could understand it, and Yisochar easily understood it. And because of this, they eventually became Roshei Sanhedrias. 200 Roshei Sanhedrias came out from Yisochar. They became the heads of the courts, the Roshei Bezdin. And therefore, they were compared to a donkey with a huge muscular frame, because the donkey is the pack animal. He is the one who carries. A horse is used for a speed. You can't overload a horse. An ox or a bull is used for his power. You have to move a tree, all right, you hitch up a bull to it, an ox, to carry to pull a big wagon. But when it comes to go long distances, stamina, that the ox is not good either. When it comes to go long distances and to carry heavy loads, this is the donkey. This is the purpose of the donkey. And the donkey, when he works, he's an all-weather animal. The horse you got to take care of. If he gets wet in the rain, and catch pneumonia. And the same thing with the cow. The donkey goes through good weather, he goes through bad weather, see, through snow, through rain. The other animals, when it comes nighttime, you got to make them a nice bed of hay and make sure they have something good to eat and they're warm. Now, the donkey, Beinam Ispasayim, right on the roadside, he pulls over and sleeps. And he keeps going, and nothing stops him. And that's why Yaakov called Yisochar, because the Balei Torah, those that know Torah, they have to work not only by day, but by night also. And they have to carry the Ol HaTorah, they have to carry the load of Torah for Kol Yisrael. And people always come to ask them, always one problem after another problem after another problem, and they cannot say that I don't have time or I'm too tired. So therefore, Yisochar was called Chamon Gorem Revitz Beinam Ispasai. Now, so this was Yisochar. The Gemara tells us in Nedorim, at the end of the second perek, Mona says, Vamar Rab Shmuel ben Achmeni Omar Rebbe Kol Orem Shish Tevasoi Havin Le Bonim Shafil Bedeir Shul Meisha Rabbeinu Lo Yo Kameisa. No, it says Demarzi Atsuye. A woman who entices her husband will give birth to children that will be greater than those in the generation of Meisha Rabbeinu, even though the generation of Meisha Rabbeinu that's considered from the greatest generations. Why do we say this? Because Meisha said, "Hovu lochem anoshim chachomim unvainim." When Meisha wanted to make Rosh Shivtechem, when Meisha wanted to make his dayonim, or he wanted to make the leaders of each shevet, he says, "Go out and find people," and he gave them a list of qualities that he wanted in them. He wanted them to be upright, and he wanted them to be strong, and he wanted them to be wise, and so forth and so on. And he mentioned Nevonim. Bino is a certain level of wisdom. When he actually chose the people, so it doesn't say Nevonim. In other words, he couldn't find anyone to fit that bill that would be called Nevonim. But Yisocher, it says Chamor Gorem, Uksiv Mimnei Yisocher Yedei Bino Lo Itim. Yisocher is a strong donkey, and from his children were Yodei Bino Le'itim. They had the Bino, the Madregas of Bino, in order to understand the Itim. Itim are the times and the seasons. They were the ones who made the astronomical calculations. So we see that Yisocher was the children of Yisocher. The children of Yisocher, Yisocher and his children, were greater than those that were in the generation of Meisha Rabbeinu. And why was this? Because the Gemara says, Vateitzei Leah. See, Leah went out and she said, Elai Tovri. She enticed Yaakov to come. And because of that, they had this great son. When they marched, Yisocher marched second. Because the king goes first. This was on the east side, and then Torah follows. So Yisocher marched second. Now we'll go to the sixth son, and the sixth son is also a pair with the fifth. Vatar od Leah vateled ben shishi liYaakov. And Leah conceived again, and she gave birth to a sixth son. Vatema Leah. And Leah said, Zivadani Elekim I see Zevatov. Apam is Beleni Ishik, Yelarati Le Shishovonim, Vatikresh Mezvulum. Now, Leah was very excited with the birth of this one. Why? Because she said, Rashi brings, she said, Me'ato letei iko di rosoi ele imi sheish li bonim keneged kol noshav. Now, see, till now, she was either breaking the barriers down of hard feeling between Yaakov and herself, or she was bringing Yaakov closer, or where Yaakov would also yilove, he would dwell with her. But now, iko di rosoi, his main place will be with me, she said. Because now I have given him the same amount of sons that all of the other wives together have. Once she had a sixth son, that was 50% of the 40. And the other three had six. Leah had six, and the other three had six. Rochel had two, and then the Shvoches had four. So she said, now, Iker di Rossi, his main home will be my home. He, because I have given him an equal amount of sons that all of the other wives did together. So Zvulun made a home. The birth of Zvulun made a home for Leah and Yaakov. So therefore, she called him Zvulun. Rashi says, what does Zvulun mean? Zvul. Zvul means Loshen Bais. Loshen Bais Zvul. She called him a home. Because now I have a home with Yaakov. What does it mean, Zevad? First she said, Zivadani lekim aisi Zevad, tov. Apam yis beleni ishi. Zivadani Zevid, the Targum says chelik. It means a part, a portion. Va'amrit leo yahav Hashem yosi chelik tav. Hadozimne yehe madore debali levosi are. Levosi. Are yelidit lo ashishavonim. Now HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given me a good portion. Zeva Tov, he has given me a good portion with the birth of Zvulun. Because now I will be the home for Yaakov. Alkein Kroshmai, therefore she called him Zvulun. Latik Kroshmai Zvulun. A home. Now it's interesting that she said a chelik. He has given me a good portion. Because we find that Zvulun, what does a chelik mean? A chelik means a part. We find that Zvulun was a part of a whole. Just like Shimon and Levi were two of a pair, so were Zvulun and Yisachar. So they were also the two brothers born next to each other. Zvulun, the Gemara tells us, were merchants. They loved to do business. So they import, export, and they loved the sea. Now, someone who's a merchant, and especially he's traveling, gets very difficult to learn. So they couldn't find time to learn, but not very much time. Yisachar, with their gigantic heads, they love to sit and work out the most difficult problems. And when you do that, and especially if you're working like a donkey, so you don't have time to make money. So Zvulun came to Yisachar and they said, let's make a deal. Look, we liked the business world and you like the Torah world. You sit and learn and give us half of your Torah. And we will go out and work and we will give you half of our profits. And we'll share. So they became sharing partners. So that's also what Leah could have meant. Now HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given me Zevatov, a good chelik. She has given me another part, which will be the part of Yisachar. And this is what Yaakov said, Zvulun lechev yamim nishkein. See, Zvulun, they dwell by the sea. Rashi brings, why do they dwell by the sea? V'hu lechev onies v'yakatzei atzidun. They were dwelling by the sea in the harbors. Why? V'hu yemotzui todir lechev onies b'mokam agomel. They were always near the harbors. Sh'onies mevi'es sham parkamacho. Because that's where the merchandise was coming in. Sh'izvulun eisen parkamacho. Because Zvulun was working with merchandise, umam tzimozen l'shevet Yisachar, and they would support Yisachar, v'heim eiskim b'torah, and the others would be eiskim b'torah. And this is what Meisha blessed him. Meisha also blessed him with this. In Zeisa Brocha, Meisha said, u'lezvulun omar, to Zvulun he said, smach Zvulun b'tzeisecho, Zvulun should go, and be Zvulun should rejoice when they go out, Yisachar be'ayalecho, and Yisachar in your tents. Well, what does it mean? So Rashi brings here also the same. Zvulun v'Yisachar also shutfis. They made a partnership. Zvulun lechev yamim ishkain v'yetzel lepakamanje b'sfinos. Zvulun will go out to the sea in boats with merchandise and they'll make money and they will give to Yisachar. And Yisachar will sit and study Torah. And this is what Meisha meant, that when Zvulun will go out to business, he should go besimcha. Because it's not just business. His business was Torah. Because through this business, he was supporting Yisachar in the tents. Smach Zvulun b'tzeisecho, v'Yisachar b'o'alecho. Actually, we can make two comments on that posuk. First of all, it states Zvulun first. Well, Zvulun Omar. And also in the brachas that Yaakov gave in Vayechi, first he blessed Zvulun and then Yisachar. So in that the Chazal say, because they came first. Because when for the Brocha they came first. Because the Torah of Yisachar
was built on the brachas of Zvulun.
Imein kemachin Torah. But Yisachar, Zvulun provided the kemach,
and Yisachar provided the Torah.
So first you need a bracha and the kemach. That's why Zvulun
was given the bracha first.
Torosa shel Yisachar was al yedei pakamachis el Zvulun. Another comment we can make, really it should state Semach twice. Moshe should have said, well, Zvulun Omar Smach Zvulun b'tzeisecha, let Zvulun be happy when he goes out, Usmach Yisachar ba'ayalecha, and let Yisachar be happy in the tents. He said Semach once, Smach Zvulun b'tzeisecha, Zvulun should be happy when he goes out, and Yisachar in the tents. From here comes out a great chidush.
Generally, we would say like this,
someone who learns Torah, and especially if he's good at learning Torah, someone who learns Torah and is not good at it,
it's not too enjoyable.
He can't do it for too long. But someone who learns Torah and is good at it, especially someone like Yisachar,
says, God, that's the greatest tainug in the world.
That's the greatest enjoyment in the world. It says that's an enjoyment from a different world. That's from a Gan Eden. So that would be the Simcha of Yisachar. What would be the Simcha of Zvulun? Going out and tackling the business world.
All right.
People, there are some who find enjoyment in that, but it's certainly not the same enjoyment.
But here Moshe said, Zvulun Omar Smach Zvulun B'tzeisecha V'Yisachar
B'Olecho, that the same Simcha
that Yisachar will have in the tents of Torah,
that he gave them the bracha you should have in the business world. The same Simcha.
Why? Because your business is not business, your business is Torah.
With that you're supporting Torah. So this is a great chidush.
That means that the great the same Simchas HaTorah that Yisachar is having in the tents of Torah,
Zvulun was having doing business on the seas,
because that business was being transformed into Torah.
That's why he said Smach once and not twice. Otherwise, he should have said Smach Zvulun B'tzeisecha. You'll be happy in what you're doing, and you'll be happy in what you're doing. There's two different things. He said one Smach.
Now, the
it could be
why Zvulun was prone. We said why Yisachar was prone to become such a great baliteter.
It could be why Zvulun was prone to become the great Machzika Torah. See, the one who supports Torah is because it was his birth that created a house for Yaakov.
When he was born, so now Leah
said, Ato now, my house will be Yaakov's house. And that's why she called him Zvulun, from Zvul means a house. So his birth created a house for Yaakov. Yaakov was the Ishtam Yeshiva Olim. Yaakov was the man of Torah.
And his birth created a house for it.
So that could be a reason why he was prone to create a house for Torah by Yisachar.
In other words, he provided
the physical home for Yisachar, who provided the Torah. When they marched, the third one, up front in the east,
was first Yehuda. He was the king.
We said the east was the front, then was Yisachar, and then Zvulun.
Yisachar came second because he was Torah, and Zvulun
came third because he was the supporter of Torah. Let me just conclude now. So now we've gone through the six sons. These are the six sons of Leah. Let me just conclude.
We've heard it a number of times, but there's a beautiful, very beautiful word from the Chofetz Chaim, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, that Rabbi Eloy says over often. That's very dear to him because he heard it from the Chofetz Chaim himself.
When he was a little boy, he heard the Chofetz Chaim speak. I believe it was in Vilna.
And he heard this from the Chofetz Chaim. The Chofetz Chaim came
to the city, and he came to
encourage the people
and inspire the people to give money to the yeshivas and to support Torah.
See, he told them that in the Midbar, in the desert, when they built the Mishkan, so it states that certain of the articles had staves. because this is the way they were carried. The Mishkan was used, was portable, was movable, wasn't stationary, it was carried from one place to the other. The Shulchan, the table, had staves. The Oren HaKodesh had staves, and so forth. So they carried. When they came to the Beis HaMikdash, the permanent Beis HaMikdash, it wasn't necessary for the staves anymore because they weren't carried. So they removed the staves. But by the Oren HaKodesh, it says, Lo Yosuru. There HaKodesh Baruch Hu said, Allah, V'leis HaSeh, you're not allowed to remove the staves of the Oren HaKodesh. So in the Beis HaMikdash, in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, the Oren HaKodesh, the Oren had the Sefer Torah and the tablets, and the broken tablets. The Oren would always stay there with the staves. Bari HaOren. And everybody asked the question. The staves were necessary when we were moving from one place to the other. But now, we're not allowed to move it. It was on Har HaBayis, Yerushalayim. This is its permanent place. So why must the staves be there? So the Chofetz Chaim answered, because the Oren represented the Torah. The staves represented those who carried the Torah. When one person learns Torah and another person supports their Torah, we might think that the one who learns the Torah, he should get more honor than the one who supports the Torah. And then HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, no, it's an equal shutfus, it's an equal partnership. And therefore, when it came to other kelim, to the other articles, it didn't bother HaKadosh Baruch Hu if they would remove the staves. But by the Oren, he says, just as the Oren is placed in the most holiest part of the Beis HaMikdash, then Mitzad HaDin, it is only proper that the staves also must be placed there, so they enjoy the same sanctity and the same honor that the Torah does, because it was the staves that carried it. So therefore, Lo Yosuru, we were never allowed to remove the staves. This is what Rabbi Loi says over a number of times that he heard from the Chofetz Chaim Zichron Baruch. These are some insights in the six children of Leah. In Yitz Hashem, next week will be Parshas Vayeshev. Vayishlach, in our Parsha, we said is born Binyamin. All of the others were born Chutz La'oretz, outside of Eretz Yisrael. Binyamin was the only one that was born in Eretz Yisrael, and that's in this week's Parsha. And next week's Parsha is Parsha's Vayeshev, which speaks of Yosef. So in Yitz Hashem, next week we will go into Yosef and Binyamin.
The Yeshiva Gedola hopes that you have learned much from the presentation. For further information, or to order additional shiurim, please contact the Yeshiva Gedola of Johannesburg. Visit us on the web at www.ygj.co.za or contact us via email at audio@ygj.co.za, via phone at 011-648-7906, via fax at 011-648-0085, and via post at PO Box 66226, Broadway 2020, Johannesburg, South Africa.